Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Nun Ches. We are holding a Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are way behind the Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis. We are all the way back around 20 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, on the Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Allah Shalom. We thank you very much for the continued sponsorship of the daf. We are continuing in the Churban Agaditos. First, we're going to give the different explanations of what the Pasuk means when the Pasuk says, Ki Alecha Horagnu Kol Hayom. We had one interpretation yesterday. We're going to have four more interpretations today. Then the Gemara is going to get into some terrible stories surrounding the Churban of Yerushalayim, and the Churban of Beit. It's going to talk about the Avera that caused the Churban. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, we're going to finally at the end of Amud Aleph get back into the halachic parts of Mesachas Gittin, and we're going to talk about what it takes to make the purchase from a Sikrikon into a binding purchase. The Gemara is going to talk about if a field that was purchased from the Sikrikon was resold after the first Okeach already had a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, so what's the halacha in that case? The Gemara is going to talk about the difference in halacha between Sikrikon versus other Goyim who may confiscate our fields and maybe have a different status. And then in the middle of Amud Beis, we're going to tell the story of someone who took over a field and prepaid 3 years worth of taxes, and then the original owner returned after 1 year and said, you know, you lost your taxes, but I want my field back. Then we're going to talk about at the very end of the daf how to calculate the revia of money that you give to the owner. I mean, we said in the Mishnah, when you buy a field from a Sikrikon, you got to pay 25% of the money to the original balabas who was confiscated from to make up for the difference. So we're going to talk about how do you make, is it really 25%? Is it 25% of what exactly? How do cheshbon that revia of money? So let's begin. We are 19 lines from the end of the page. Rabbi Yehuda Amar. So we're discussing that phrase of Alecha Ragnu, Ki Alecha Ragnu Kol Hayom. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Zu Isha V'Shuva Benah. It's a reference to the story of a woman and her seven sons who all died al Kiddush Hashem. Asu lekam lekamei de Kesar. They brought the first son in front of Kesar Amalei Plach Levels Chavim, and he said, bow to the Avodah Zarah, worship the Avodah Zarah. Amar Lahu. So the son said, Kosba Torah Ani Hashem Elokecha. Torah says Ani Hashem Elokecha. So Afku Ketalu. They took him out and they killed him. Asu leidach. They then brought the second son lekamei de Kesar. So Amar Lahu, and they said, Plach Levels Chavim, go bow to the Avodah Zarah, worship the Avodah Zarah. Amar Lahu said, I will not do that because Kosba Torah Lo Yelochay Lahu Machirim Al Panai. So Afku they took him out and killed him. Asuli idach, they brought son number three. Amalei plach level tzchavim, worship of Avodah Zarah. Amalu kasev Torah zaveich lelukim yachram. Torah says that zaveich lelukim yachram. Only built il Hashem levado. You're only allowed to serve the Ribbono Shalom. Afku katalu, they took him out and killed him. Asuli idach, they brought the fourth son. Amalei plach level tzchavim, same thing. Amalu kasev Torah, not the possible sishtachave leelacher. You're not allowed to bow to any other god. Afku katalu, they took him out and they killed him. Asuli idach, they brought son number five. Amalei plach level tzchavim. Amalehu, he said, I cannot do that. Kasuv Torah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Afku katalu. So they killed him. Asu leidach, they brought son number six. Amalei plach level tzchavim. Worship the Avodah Zarah. Amalehu, Kasuv Torah says in Torah, V'adata Yom Shavuot Vecha, Ki Hashem Elokeinu B'Shemayim Mimal Laaretz Mitachas Ein Od. Afku katalu. So they took him out and they killed him. Asu leidach, they brought the seventh son. Amalei plach level tzchavim. You got to worship the Avodah Zarah. Amalehu, Kasuv Torah pasuk says, Es Hashem Hemarta. That we were miyachid HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our God, and Hashem hem mircha hayom, and Hashem chose us, and it was miyachid us as an am segula. Kvar nashvanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheino mavir noso belacher. We made a guarantee that we're not going to switch Hashem for some other God. Vafhu nishpalanu shein mavir osonu b'macheres, and he promised us that he's not going to switch us for any other nation. Ben Yoyada points out that last line is important, that he promised us that he's not going to switch because the Kesar might have tainted. What do you care that you swore you're not going to switch him for another god? It could be matar shvua for the sake of pikuach nefesh. So he said, no, we were mekabel tovas hana'a from the shvua because he promised something in return, and when you're mekabel tovas hana'a from a shvua, it's not subject to hatara. So I'm like Kesar. So the Kesar said, okay, look, I'm not going to ask you to do avodah zarah, but ishti legushpanka, let me throw my royal seal on the ground, gichin v'shakli, way. So you'll bend down to pick it up. So at least it will look like you're accepting the rulership of the Melech, that you're willingly accepting the rulership of the Melech. So this seventh son said, Chaval alach Kesar, Chaval alach Kesar. A double Lashon. Double Lashon, sometimes Lashon Chavivus, and sometimes Lashon of Nebuchadnezzar. What a pathetic person, Kesar. That this is what you need, like you're busy killing everybody, and you can't go without a little more kavod. You need that little bit of kavod. I heard recently a friend Waxman told the Maisa that someone flew him first class, and he was sitting on the Mizrachvan to first class all the way in the front, and some guy comes and sits next to him with an entourage and people coming and taking pictures with him and this and that, and he had no idea who it was. And the guy struck up a conversation. He said, "My name is so and so." He said, "Okay, my name is Ephraim Waxman." And the fellow said, "You know, I there's a lot of money in playing music." And Waxman was like, "Okay, I don't care, you know." Like, and the guy said, "You want a picture? You want my autograph?" Like, it's like. Like, he couldn't be so vile that someone didn't want his picture or his autograph. So the guy gave me a picture with his autograph. What am I going to do with this picture with his autograph? The need for cover is such that that no matter what you have, and no matter you could have all the money in the world and all the people, but that's what fuels certain people. So chaval lach kesar, and you need this little bit of cover from the seventh Jew you're about to kill today. You're so insistent on your own cover, the cover of a Kodesh Baruch all the more so. So they took him out to kill him. His mother said to them, "At least give me my seventh son to give him a kiss goodbye." So Amrlo, she said, "I want you to go report to Avram Avinu. You sacrificed one son on a mizbeach, and I am sacrificing seven sons on mizbechos." And then she went up to the roof and she fell and she died. The manager says that she went out of her mind and she was delirious. She went because of such a sorrow that she experienced, all seven of her sons killed in front of her, so she committed suicide. And the Matnas Kuna disagrees with the Talmud Bavli, and it says that the Medrash is in disagreement with the Talmud Bavli, and that she did it with das tzalula, she did it with a clear mind, and that it was mutter in that circumstance to be ma'avir atzma l'das. So a lot of the discussions about when it's mutter to be ma'avir atzma l'das, when it's not, are based on these agaritas. This is the third suicide we read about in the past couple of days. So a lot of the discussions are what are the heterim, if there are any, for some of these cases, for the young girls and the young boys jumping overboard, and for all of these kinds of cases. Yatza Baskal Diamra, Baskal came out and said, "Eima banim samecha." So now the Gemara tells us a third possible application of Alecha Horagnu Kaleyom. Rav Shimon Levi Amar Mila, Zo Mila Shenitna Bishmini. It's a reference to Mila, which is done on the eighth day, which is dangerous, and that's Alecha Horagnu Kaleyom. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar, a fourth possible. It's referring to Talmid Chamim who demonstrate Hilchos Shechita on their own necks. Everything a person should be able to show on himself, bar mishchita, except for Shechita, because you start demonstrating your own neck, you might accidentally put the knife in your neck. That's how Rashi explains that it's a concern that you're accidentally actually going to injure yourself. The Marsha says, no, you're not allowed to do it because it might cause that it's based on Al Yiftach Adam people. Satan, that even a dibur you're not allowed to have that's going to be it's going to cause the Satan to say, oh, that's not a bad idea. But if you do a maisa, all the more so. The davaracher, the other thing you're not allowed to show on yourself is simanim of tzara'as, that will also come to a person. A fifth explanation, final explanation of Alecha Ragnu Kol Yom, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar El Tamil Chamim Shem Misen Atzman Al Dibri Torah. Tamil Chamim will kill themselves over Torah. Rav Shimon Lakish, Tamar Rav Shimon Lakish Ein Dibri Torah Miskayim El Mishemim Is Atzman Aleim. That the Torah only stay with someone who kills themselves over it. Shneamar zos haTorah adam ki yamos pa'ohel. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan arba'im sa'ah. There were 40 sa'ah of batim of tefillin nimtzu b'rashi haruge beitar that were found on the heads of haruge beitar. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, not 40 sa'ah, shalosh kupal shel arba'im arba'im sa'ah. It was three boxes each with 40 sa'ah of tefillin batim. B'masnisa tana arba'im kupos shel shalosh se'in. There's a brisa that has a variation of that, that says that it was 40 boxes of three sin each, which is the same total of 120. But v'lo pligi, you should know that the first report that it was a total of 40 sa'ah, and the second and third that it was a total of 120, do not actually disagree with each other, because hadaresha, hadadara, that the Braisa and Rabbi Yana are talking about tefillin shel rosh, which are larger, and Rabbi Yochanan was talking about tefillin shel yad, which are smaller. The Achronim raised the obvious question. Wait, Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the tefillin shel yad, which are smaller? Well then, how come it says that it was nimtzu be roshei harugei beitar? Rabbi Yochanan says it was found on the heads of the harugei beitar. A head is a funny place to put a tefillin shel yad. So the Maram Shif writes that it was the harugei beitar because they were busy fighting and they needed their arms for their weapons and everything like that. So it's possible that at Peshas Melchama, when they're holding their clay Zion with their arms, they would put their tefillin shel yad on their heads as well, because they needed somewhere to put the tefillin shel yad. Or berashe means near their head. What's near the head? Well, the arm's not so far from the head. Maybe that's what it means. A little bit difficult to understand, but the assumption of the whole thing of hadaresha hadadara is that the tefillin shel rosh is larger, and therefore they needed more boxes to hold the tefillin shel, the bottom of the tefillin shel rosh. Then they need more space than the tefillin shel yad, because the tefillin shel yad is just one bound up parsha in one compartment, whereas tefillin shel rosh, even though it's the same number of words in the parshios, in the four parshios, but it's in four separate compartments, so the assumption was that it was larger. There were four kav of brain matter on one stone. Ula Amar Tishas kav, and this is by Chorban Bayis Rishon, that it was nine kav. Amar Rav Kana Vitema Shila Bar Mari, Mikra, oh, what's the pasuk that's Marami's to us, that the Bavliim crushed the skulls of Jewish people during Chorban Bayis Rishon? So the pasuk says, Bas Bavel Hashaduda Ashrei Sheyishalim Lach. As Kamulik Shigamalt Lanu, the apostle continues, the David HaMelech curses the Bnei Bavel that they should get back what they gave to us. And what does it say? Ashri Sheyochas V'nipetz Esololayich Elasela, that their children's brains should be broken in on rocks. So why would we say such a gruesome thing to them? Because that's the description of Mida Keneged Mida of what they had done to our children. So now the Gemara Darshan's a pasuk about the grandeur and the beauty of the Bnei Tzion before the Churban. Bnei Tzion Ayikarim Hamusulaim Bapaz. They are praised and with paz. So my Musulaim Bapaz, what does that mean? That they're Musulaim Bapaz, Ile Medavu Mechapi Bapiza, if it means that they're covered with golden jewelry, and that shows their great value. That there are two measures of paz that came out down into this world, and half of it went to Rome and the other half went to the whole rest of the world. So the Bnei Tzion wouldn't be the ones that have an unusual amount of gold jewelry. No, it means that they were so beautiful that they made gold look ugly by comparison to their natural beauty. That it used to be that they would take beautiful images and put them by their beds when they were Meshamish Mita, because they wanted their wives to see something very nice while they were having Tashmish Mitas, with the assumption you have many places in Shas, is that whatever is on a person's mind at the time of the Shas Zivug is going to impact what the child is going to look like. So they wanted to have good looking kids, so they'd have beautiful things in the room at the time of Tashmish Hamita. So they used to take beautiful images, beautiful jewelry. Mikan ve'elach, after the Zman Churban, when they had Bnei Yisrael in captivity, so Maisu Bnei Yisrael, the Romans would take Jews that were beautiful, Va'asri Bikari Duparayu, and they would tie them to the legs of to the feet of their bed, Mishamshi, and they would have Tashmish in the presence of these Jewish people. Samar Lechad Lechabre, one Jewish person would say to the other one, Ha'heich Haksiva, this type of tzara, where does it say this in the Torah? In all of Tochacha, I never read that we're going to have to do this, how demeaning this is. So Malay, the one they responded, yeah, what do you mean? It says in Tocha, Gam kol chaliva kol maka asher lo kasub sefer ha-tarazos, that it's not only things that are explicitly stated, there are many things that are not written in the Torah that we're going to suffer as well. So Amar, the other one said back to him, Kam rechitim yiduch plan. I'm not up to there in Chumash yet. How far am I from that pasuk? I never heard that one before. So Malay, so the other one said, in good, you're just a little bit away, pustum palga, about a page and a half away from reaching that pasuk. So malay imatay legabei, had I been that far in the chumish lo mitzruch lach, I wouldn't have needed you to answer this question. Something deeper, obviously, is going on in that conversation. I'm not sure what, but you got to look around in the mefarshe agada over there. So I'm Rabbi Dor Meshmul Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Gamliel. My dechsev, what does the pasuk mean when it says in Eicha, eini olal lenafshi mikol benos iri? So arba meos batik nisir soy bekrach beitar. It's referring to the 400 shuls that were in Krach Beitar, ubekalachas v'achas, and each of these batik nisir soy ba arba meos melamdei tinokos had 400 different melamdei tinokos ubekalachas v'achas, and each of those melamdei tinokos hayu lefanav arba meos tinokos shel bishrabin had 400 students in their classes. The Iyun Yaakov raises the question. Wait a second. Aside from the numbers being astonishing, right? It means if you do the math, it's 64 million students in the school system there. So that's hard to imagine. But aside from that, the Iyun Yaakov says it's against the halacha. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Basra tells us that it's usher for one malami to have more than 25 children in the class. It's gonna hit the point of diminishing returns in terms of the impact the Rebbe is going to be able to have on the children. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that maybe they didn't all learn at the same time. Maybe they rotated in and out. Yeah, but if there were 20 kids in a class and each Malamed was responsible for teaching 400 students, how long was each child learning for then? That sounds pretty terrible, right? I hope the parents get a tuition break. They're only getting an hour of instruction. That's if the Rebbe doesn't sleep. So Ben Yoyada suggests that each Malamed had enough assistant teachers. Malamed over here more means like a head of school. So there were each Malamed Tinokos headed a school that had 400 kids in it. Okay, when the enemy entered there, they would beat them with their sticks, and when the Oyev overpowered the Anshei Beitar and conquered them, they wrapped them in their own Sfarim and they lit them on fire. Rabbi Shuv ben Chananya went to the large city in Rome, and they told him that there was one Tinok in the Beis HaSurim, he was exceptionally good looking, and he has this beautiful hair. So Rabbi Shuv ben Chananya stood by the doorway of the Beis HaSurim to see if this Tinok is a learner. So Amar, Rabbi Shuv ben Chananya asked him, who allowed this to happen to the Jewish people? It's Hashem that we sinned against, and we didn't want to follow in his ways. We didn't listen to his Torah. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya heard such a response. Amar muftachni bo shemara hara b'Yisrael. I'm sure that he's going to be a mara hara b'Yisrael. Obviously, the Achronim all ask, what did he see about him that tells us that he's going to be a Pesach in Kal Yisrael? You see that he knew Tanakh. That's very nice. But how do you see? Not everyone knows Tanakh is a Pesach. Sometimes people post him and don't know Tanakh. How do you know that he's going to be a mara hara b'Yisrael based on that? So in the Be'er Yosef on Chumash, everyone has their own answer. But the Be'er Yosef says that because his response was halachic, because he didn't stop in the middle of the pasuk. The real answer was Halo Hashem Zuchatanu Lo. That was the whole answer. That was the answer to the question of Shuvin Chananya. But he continued and said V'lo Abdrach V'loch V'lo Shom B'Toraso, because he knew that you're not allowed to stop in the middle of the pasuk. Beginning in the middle of the pasuk was not a problem, because there's no chiyuv to begin at the beginning of a pasuk. That's what the Maritz Chiyus writes in Maseches Brachos. So that's how they recognized his chachma, that he knew the halacha on both ends, that he's allowed to begin in the middle of the pasuk, but he's not allowed to end in the middle of the pasuk, and he knew how to respond in that way. That's a mara hara'ah. He must be very into halacha if he knew how to be medaktik in such a halacha. I'm not moving from here until I'm put to this kid with all the money that they ask for, whatever amount of money that they ask for. The Rishonim raised the question, how could you do that? It's against the halacha. We learned the Gemara earlier in Maseches Gittin, Daf Mem Hei, that you're not allowed to be put to a shava b'yasa al kadei damav with more than his value. So Tosfos writes over here that it's sakonis nefashos you could be pod the shvuim b'yasam yidmeyan. The Ramban says, come on, it's always sakonis nefashos when you have someone in shevi, when you have someone in captivity. So Tosfos suggests maybe he was a muflag b'chachma. When you have someone who's a muflag b'chachma, right? That's the second answer Tosfos here on the top. Inami mishum to muflag b'chachma haya. That maybe when someone's a muflag b'chachma, you're allowed to overpay for him. So Amr, they said, lozaz misham achvedov mamun harbe. He didn't move from there until he was good on his word, and he was pulled to him from Amun Harbeg. And his prediction came true. He became a Mara Rabbi Yisrael. Uman Rabbi Yisrael ben Elisha, and that's Rabbi Yisrael ben Elisha. Now the Gemara tells a story that's familiar to us from the Kinos. Amar Rabbi Dor Merav, Ma'aseh b'bnei Bitos Rabbi Yisrael ben ben Elisha, a story of the son and the daughter of Yishol ben Elisha, the Kohen Gadol, Shenishpul Shnei Adonim, that were each held captive by a different non-Jewish master, the Yamnis Davu Shnei Makom Echad, at some point they both ended up in the same place. Zeomer Yeshliyev, both masters ended up in the same place, and they were schmoozing. Zeomer Yeshliyev, Shein Kiyofio B'chol Olam, Zeomer Yeshli Shivcha Shein B'chol Olam Kulo Kiyofio. Each one said, I have the most beautiful. One said boy, the other said girl. So Amru, Bomen Asim Zelazel, let's go be mishadichem with each other. Unachalik bavlados, and we'll split the vlados. They're going to produce beautiful children. Hechnisim lecheder, they put them in a room together, assuming that they would that they would have beer with each other, and they'll produce children. Zay yashu bekaren zavizah, zay yashu bekaren zavizah, vizu yashu bekaren zavizah. Each one sat in their own corner, and they wouldn't go near each other. They didn't see at first who each other was. Zay omer ani kohen ben kohen gedolim. So the boy said, I am a kohen, the son of kohen gedolim. Es hashivcha. That's going to be my fate. I'm going to marry a shivcha. Zosa marries. And this one said, the girl said, "Ani kohen es bas kohanim gedolim. I am a girl who descends from kohanim gedolim." And I said, "The eved, I'm going to marry an eved. That's going to be my shidduch." Uvachu kol ha'layla. They spent all night crying. Kivan shalom al hashachar. When the sun rose, he kiru, or al hashachar rose, it started to get light in the sky. He kiru zeh. So they were able to see each other, and they realized who was there in the room with them. V'naflu zeh. They fell on each other. V'go b'vchi, and they cried out ad sheyotzu nishmas, until both of them and Shamos left them. And that's what Yirmiyo is Mekonin al Eila Nivochia Eini Eini Yordamayim. The Ben Yoyada raises the question, why did they cry out until Yasim Shmasim Adraba? They should have been so happy that they were saved from the Sisra Chamor of being with of being Boel Arayos because of their Mesiris Nefesh. So Ben Yoyada says there were such Chasidim, there were such pious people that they were being Mitzayer, that they just insulted their sibling. Each one spent the whole night saying that this person with me is an Eved, that this person with me is a shivcha, that I was able to call my sibling such a name that they cried out about such a thing. A good musr for our children, maybe, right? That you don't call siblings names. That this is what they were crying about after such a night. Amrei Shlakish, Maisa bi Isha Achas. There's a story of an Isha Achas with Safnas Pas Peniel Shema. Her name was Safnas Pas Peniel. Safna, she was called Safna, Shakolt Sofin Biofia, because everyone would look at her beauty. Bas Peniel, Bito Shal Kohen Gadol, Shimish Lefnai V'Lefnim. She was called Bas Peniel because she was the daughter of a Kohen Gadol that served Lefnai V'Lefnim. She nesal b'shabayi kol ha'layla. And because she was so beautiful, the Goyim took advantage of her all night. L'machar, the next day, Hilbisha Shevichalukim, they got her dressed up in seven robes. V'otzia l'machar, and they took her out to sell her as shivcha. Ba'ad mecha chayi mechor b'yosra. So there's one person that was very disgusting. Amar lo, he said to the captor, Harei niyas yofi, I want to see your beauty. Amar lo, reka, you empty one. Imata rota likach, kach. If you want to buy her, buy her. Shein ki yofi b'cholam kulo, there's no one as beautiful as her. So Amalo Afal Pikani said, still, I want to see her beauty. Hivshita Shisha Chalukim, he took off six of the robes, Shvi Karata, the seventh one she tore, Vinispal Sheba Efer, and she rolled around in the dirt. Armel the fun of Shetak and Shbarak, Ribono Shalom, Imalenu Lochasta, for our own covet, you're not going to have Rachmanus, Latus, Shimcha Gibra, Lamelotachus, for your own Kedusha, you're not going to have Rachmanus, Vale Konin Yemio, and that's why Yemio is Makonin, Basami Chigrisak, Vispal Sheba Efer, Efer, Stam Efer often means offer, it often means dirt, as opposed to ashes. Efer mikla means ashes usually. Avel yachid, but avel yachid, avelus on a ben yachid that dies, asilucha mispe tamrurim, ki pitom yavo hasho de dalenu. So the Gemara explains the difference between the connection between the pasuk and the maisa. Alaych lo nemar, it doesn't say alaych, elo alenu. That Kodesh Baruch Hu saying, kaviyachal alaych alaych basho de. It's as if he's being mechalal our covered, my covered also. So now the Gemara tells us about the Avera that caused the Churban. Amar Avidom Rav, Mai Dixiv Bashku Gever Veso V'ish V'nachalaso. So it means as follows. Maisa V'demechash Rasinu V'ishas Rabo. There was a guy that wanted, that desired the wife of his master. He wanted to marry her, his Rebbe, but Rebbe doesn't mean Rebbe. The Gemara explains, V'sholya Denagrehava, it was his teacher, his carpentry teacher. So Pat Machas Hutzrach Lilvos, one time the teacher needed some money to borrow, so the Talmud said, Shigarish Tuchatzi Velvena, send me your wife and I'll give her some money, I'll send her back to you with a loan. So Shigarish Tuchatzlo, he sent the wife to go fetch the loan, Shai Mashlo Shiyamim, and he stayed with her, with the wife of his master, for 3 days. Kadamuva etzlo, the Talmud quickly went back to the teacher before the wife went back. So Amalo, Ishti Shishigartalach, what happened to my wife? Hey honey, where did she go? So Amalo, he said, Ani Patatio the altar. I don't know what you're talking about. I sent her back right away. The Shamati Shatinokasal Babadarach. But I heard she was messing around with some young men along the way. So Amalo said, Ma said, Ma Esa, oh no, she cheated on me. What am I gonna do now? So Amalo said, the Talmud said, Matashmeh la tzasi gersha. I think you should divorce her. That's terrible. She cheated on me with all these young men. So Amalo, so the teacher said, Ksubasa Maruba, it's expensive to get divorced. Her ksuba is a lot of money. How can I do that? So Amalo, he said, Ani alvach. I'll lend you the money, v'tein la ksubasa, and you'll use that money that I lend you to give her ksuba, to pay her ksuba. So Amad Zavigirsha, so the master then divorced her, halachu nisa'a, and the Talmud went and married her. Kivin she gives money when the time to pay back the loan came, lohela leporo, the teacher didn't have the money to pay the loan. So Amalo, so the Talmud said, Boa sayini b'chavcha, I'll tell you what, you can work for me to work off the money that you owe me from what you borrowed from me. So Bahayu Haim, so the Talmud and his wife, who used to be the master's wife, Yoshim Yochum Bishosu, were sitting there and enjoying themselves and eating and drinking. And he was busy and the master was busy serving them. The one who used to be the teacher was the one that was serving them. And there were tears coming down his eyes, Vinophilus Bikosei, and it was falling in their cups. Valosa Sha'a, and at that moment a great kitru came in Hashemayim, in the Schatim Gzardin, and the Gzardin of the Churban was sealed. The Armila al Shtei Psilos B'ner Echad. And some say that the din of the Churban was Nechtam because of two people that were Boel, the same woman, and they violated the Yisr of Eishas Ish. So this is, you get the sense, this is not the only Avera, because we discussed Akamtza Bar, Akamtza, other things that caused the Churban, but this is the type of Avera that that caused the Churban. So now that concludes the Churban Agadata, and now we go back into the halachic sections of Maseches Gittin. So we had mentioned Lakach min Sikrikon. The Mishnah said that if you buy land from a Sikrikon, and then you go and you buy it from the original Balabais as well, so the Mekach is batal. The Balabais is trying to make you happy, but he's not really interested in selling it to you. So Amarav lo shanu el adamar lo lecha zeku kni. This din, that if you buy from the Sikrikon, and then you buy from the Balabais, that's not a valid sale, is only if the Balabais said, lech chazeku kni, go and make a kinyan, because since the Balasada didn't do anything to be makne the field to you, we assume he doesn't really mean it. He doesn't want to be makna the field to you. He's just trying to satisfy the sikrikon. Aval b'shtar, but if the Baal HaSadr writes you a shtar, then kana, then you actually are the owner of the field, because if he didn't have a full gemiras das to be makna the field to you, he never would have written a shtar. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees and he says, af b'shtar, even if the Baal HaSadr writes a shtar, nami lo kana, the lokech is still not going to the field, ad sheyichtav lo achrayus, unless he writes achrayus into the shtar, that if it ever gets confiscated from you, that you could come to the rest of his nechassim and take some of his nechassim to compensate you for that loss. So the Gemara tries to prove from a brisa that Shmuel is correct, that even if he wrote a shtar, you're not kona unless he wrote achrayos into the shtar. Tanya kavasei to Shmuel. So we have a brisa that says like Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, lakach min isha, that if you buy a field from a wife, that she won't be able to collect her ksuba from that field. The chaz of lakach min ish, and then you go and you pay for that same field from the husband, mekcho kayim. The sale is binding, and you can eat the payros, and the wife is not able to collect her ksuba from that field. But min ish, if you first buy the field from the man, the chaz of lakach min isha, and then you go back and you buy the field from the woman, mekcho batel. Then the mekach can be batel because the woman was not, didn't have a gemira stas to be makne it to you. She just wanted to make her husband happy that she her husband sold the field to you. She doesn't want to undermine him. Ad shetichtav lo achrayus, until she writes achrayus. If she writes achrayus into it, then you know that she's into it and she's interested in letting it go, and the mekach is going to be kayim. So what do you see? That the writing of the shtar alone is not enough. That doesn't tell you that there's a gemira stas. In order to be guaranteed there's a gemira stas, you need to have her actually write achrayus like the shita Shmuel. So name it tavit yufta drab. Says Gemara, that's a pretty good raya. That seems to be like a tiyufta against Rav. Samalach Rav, mayach rayus na mishtar. No, when the Brisa says achtiftav lo achrayus, it doesn't mean that she writes to him that she's makabel on herself the achrayus, that if it gets taken away from you by balichovos, that I'm going to give it back to you. No, writing a shtar shtar, a regular shtar, is referred to as achrayus, because a shtar shows that you're mekabel achrayus. Meaning this relates to the broader machlokas that we have in Shas of achrayus to'o sofer, or achrayus lav to'o sofer. When you have a shtar that does not have achrayus written into it, do we assume that it's to'o sofer, that it's automatic? Whenever you're writing a shtar, of course there's achrayus nechasim in the shtar. So Rav assumes, yeah, that's the way it is. It's always achrayus. You don't have to write achrayus. Whereas Shmuel says, no, it's not always achrayus. You have to actually write it into the shtar. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss the following. There is a halacha called cheskas habatim. Third parak of Masechta Bava Basra is all about cheskas habatim. That if there's a dispute whether you are the rightful owner of a field or a home that you've been occupying, so if you've been, you got to be able to produce a shtar. If there's a marakama, we know that it used to belong to somebody else. You got to be able to produce a shtar that it belongs to you, unless you could prove you've been there for 3 years. If you've been there for 3 years, you no longer have to produce a shtar, because we assume by that time a person will no longer keep the shtar, because no one had any tainus until that time, so they have the right to assume no one's going to have any tainus. Now, a person buys from the Sikrikum, who then goes back and buys from the Bailim, and he pays a revia, like we learned in the Mishnah, and he holds the field for 3 years, so he's Neman, that he's the owner of the field. So our Bryce is going to discuss, what if the first Lokeach, who stayed in the field for 3 years, then sold the field to somebody else? So says the Bryce, Tan Rabbanan, Lokach min Sikrikon, you buy a field from the Sikrikon, you live in it, you occupy it, Va'achala, you eat its peros, Shalosh Shalim, for 3 years, Bifnei Bailim, and the Bailim knew about that, and then you go and turn around and sell it to somebody else. The Bailim cannot go to the new Lokeach and say, you got to pay me the Revia, because when you buy a field from a Sikrikon, you have to pay the original Bailim a Revia. Because 3 years have passed that the first Lokeach was using the field, we have a Chazaka that the field was his, and that he probably paid the Revia, like the Chachamim said he's supposed to. That's how Rashi understands that the whole issue over here is about the Revia that the Chachamim are Mesakin, that the Lokeach is supposed to give to the Bailim, that the Bailim is Toveah from the second Lokeach, that he wants the Revia, and the Bryce is telling us he has no Taina, that we assume that the first guy was already paid that Revia. The Ritva quotes another explanation of what's going on over here, what the Nidon is over here, what the issue is over here, and he says that it was talking about this Bryce is talking in the Tkuf of the Mishnah Rishona, that the Bailim was actually able to take the Karka away from the Lokeach, and the Bryce is telling us that the Bailim loses that right after 3 years when it's by the Lokeach Rishon. It's not about the Revia, which was in the Mishnah Achrona, which was the ultimate Takana. It's the Mishnah Rishona when they're allowed to actually take the field back. But either way, let's stick with Rashi. So the Bala Sad is not able to say, that you got to show me the Shtar Mechira, because no one keeps the Shtar Mechira after that period of time. Seichidami says, well, wait a second. What exactly is the case over here? What we're missing a very critical part of the story. A guy took the field, bought the field from Sikrikon. He lived in it for 3 years. We got those details. He sold it to somebody else. Yeah, we got that. And then the original owner said, you owe me a revia. What did he say back? What did the Lokeach Rishon say back? Say, Chidami, Idikotan Vamra Minach Zavna. If we're talking about the Lokeach Sheni said to the Bailim, the Lokeach Rishon bought it from you, bought the field from you, and already paid the Revia. So, Filu Rishonami. Forget about the Lokeach Sheni being Neman. Lokeach Rishon would be Neman. You don't need to complicate the case by making a new guy who bought this field. Even Lokeach Rishon could say, I already paid you the Revia after he already has a Chazaka. Vidalok. And if he's not saying that you've already been paid your revia minach zavna, then even the second guy should not be believed. You should have to pay the revia. Why? Because this is what's called a chazaka she'eni mataina. That a chazaka is not enough, right? If someone comes into my house and says, "What are you doing in my house?" I can't say, "I don't know, it's empty, and I've been living here for 3 years." So that's not enough. I have to be able to prove some reason. I have to be at least have a taina that it's mine for some reason. I can't just say that I walked right into somebody else's. You need a taina. The case is Lokeach Sheni does not taina that the Bailim Rishon had to the first Bailim that it was purchased kedin from him and that he paid a revia. And this is an example where we make a taina on behalf of the Yorish, that if you Yarshin from a guy who bought from the Sikrikon, you can assume that we'll make a taina on behalf of the Yorish that the father that he Yarshin the field from already paid pay the revia, v'torg l'lokeach. And we also make a taina on behalf of a lokeach me'asuk rishon, that for sure the lokeach rishon had paid the revia, v'idach, and when it comes to the lokeach rishon, itoinin ilotoin lo, well, he would actually have to make the taina because he's expected to know. The lokeach sheni is not expected to know. He wasn't involved in the original transaction. So we'll make the taina on his behalf, but the lokeach rishon, he's expected to know. Tan rabbanon, haba machmas chov, machmas Anpurus, Aimumishum Sikrikon, that we've been discussing Sikrikon, who takes away the field, and you buy the field from the Sikrikon. What about other Goyim that just take away your people, Jewish people's karka? So you have a chov that the Jew owes the non-Jew a chov and he takes the field. Or Anpurus, a guy that just takes the field for free from the Jew. So only Sikrikon do we have this Takanas Chachamim, that if the Lokeach had it for a full year, then you just have to pay a revia to the Bailim and then the karka remains with you. But if you buy from these other goyim that confiscate fields, the halacha is that it goes back to the original bailim, even if it's been more than a year. In order that the field should have a din of anprus, it needs to be in the hands of the guy for 12 months. And if it's not in the hands of the guy for 12 months, the bailim is going to pay money and take the field from the lokeach. Says Gemara, what? What are you talking about? Why does it need to be there for 12 months? The Brisa just said that there's no din of Sikrikon. The din of 12 months was only by the Sikrikon. That if 12 months didn't pass, the Bailim is able to pay and get the field back. The field goes back to them. Whereas the Lokech, someone who buys from a guy who Stam took the karka from a Jewish person, because of a Chov or Anpurus, the Mekach is always going to be batal. So what does the 12 months have to do with it? So Hachi Ka'amar. No. What the Brisa meant to say is that if a guy takes the land from a Jew because of a chov or anprus, and the guy who buys it from him, the mekach is going to be batel, and not like the sikrikon where they were misakein that you give a revia and you get to keep the karka. Sikrikon atzma, and even the sikrikon itself that the chamu were misakein that the lokeach gets to keep it. You just got to pay a revia tzrichas tishas shemas chodesh. Even the din of sikrikon only becomes operative after 12 months. But in Echami, the 12 month time period has nothing to do with the other situations, with the other cases. We have a Mesorah that there are no Goyim that steal lands from Jews in Bavel, and therefore if a Jew says that a particular karka was his and someone else had bought it from a guy, we don't believe the original Jew. So it says, what do you mean? We see all the time Goyim are taking away karka from Jewish people. So it means that someone who buys it from a guy who took the karka away from a Jew, the mekach is kayim. There's no din of anprus. So my time out. Why? Why is there no such din? Since there are government officials and he didn't go and complain to them, meaning there are people to go to. He should have gone to the police and he didn't do so. So we assume that he was mochel on the karka and the karka now belongs to a guy. So now the Gemara is going to tell the story relating to tax collecting. It used to be that the way the king would impose a tax is he would go to an entire bika, a large area of fields, and say, I need X number of dollars from this bika. And then among themselves, they would have to split up the taxes and figure out who pays what. But if someone didn't pay, then the king doesn't say, well, that's that person's problem. No, you guys got to make it up. This bika has to pay me $100,000. I don't care if someone ran away and decided not to pay. So Gita Bari Eloi, there was a fellow, Gita Bari Eloi, Kabbal Arabitaskim Ne Baga. He was Makabel, a particular field, whose Bailim ran away and didn't pay the taxes. So he said, you know what, I'll take over the field and I'll pay the taxes. So Akhtim Yob Zuzin Tlashnin, and he paid 3 years in advance worth of taxes. Lesof Asam Marvasa Kamai, and eventually the original owner came back after 1 year. Amalei, so they said to Gita Bari Eloi, Shata Kamaisa Diavta, the first year of taxes that you already gave, achalt, you enjoyed the field for that year, so that's fine, we're even on that. Hashta, and then Yavina, and then Achlinan. Going forward, it's only 1 year later. I don't care that you prepaid for 3 years. I'm happy to pay the taxes going forward. It's my field. I'm moving back in. I'm getting the payros. Apparently, the law was that once you paid, you didn't get money back. Money only flows in one direction. So if this guy would go back into the field, he would still have to pay the taxes. But the guy that had taken over, this Gidal Bar Eloi, would not get any credits toward future years or anything anything like that. So also the Kamei Rav Papa, they came to Rav Papa for a Din Torah. So some of the Michtavlei Tirfa Bnei Baga. So Rav Papa wanted to write for Gid Bar Elai a Shtar of Psak Din that it could be Torah from the Karkaos of the original Bailim of the Bika for the amount that he prepaid in taxes. So Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua the Rav Papa in Kena Sikrikon. But then you're treating this like Sikrikon, that just like by Sikrikon the Chamor Misakin that the guy who came in and bought something doesn't lose his money. So you're making such a similar takana, but that's improper because the melech was only asking for taxes for 1 year. He wasn't asking for taxes for 3 years. This guy decided to do that on his own. Elam Ravuna Bar Yehoshua he niach mosav al kerenetzvi gidol bar ilai prepaid, and because of that he was throwing money away. You don't prepay 3 years worth of taxes. Mishnah Rishon Beisus Lachrei Namru Zom Mishnah Rishon Beisus Lachrei Namru halukeach minasukrikon nosin vayim. You know what? Maybe we'll start with this tomorrow. There's going to be a whole discussion about how we figure out the revia that you pay to the original owner. So Beis Hashem, we'll do that tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful evening.
Have a great evening. Shkayach Rabbi. Yeah.